Welcome back, everybody, to Overdunk. This is your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks, and I am joined by my two incredible co-hosts that are stalwart and with me forever and ever. That's right, I've trapped them inside the show. I have Dupesnacks and Lazadin joining me here as always. Lazadin, how have you been this last week?
I've been pretty good, you know, just had a couple of very busy weeks of scrims preparing. There's pretty tightly packed Unite content for the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, you know, like helping write the letter last week and then dealing with all the stuff related to that. And then, hey, PTS changes, poggers.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we have a lot.
Been very, very busy.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot to talk about there, too. We'll also have to talk to you a little bit about your thoughts on the other regions as well. I know you've been doing a lot of VOD review of regions in the final, and we'll dive into what that sound means. Dupesnacks, how has your last week been?
It's been good. It's been good. Excited for the May finals. Really just want to set the stage for a good regional finals. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's what everybody's kind of itching for, where in this feels more of like a formality to get to the thing that we ultimately are very, very excited about. But should be a good show, and a lot of teams are scrapping for CP to stay on top of the pile, so that is a great storyline we've got going for us going into this weekend.
Mm-hmm. There's a few specific matchups, too, that are the mm-hmm. really interesting ones. And you got to remember, too, when we're headed in towards the regional finals, of course, the world slots are always the biggest prize and the most coveted thing. So the championship point conversation can kind of dry up around those when they're kind of set in stone. However, the prize pool is still pretty great for regionals as well. So having a good seed and getting to a spot where you can actually get paid to play Pokemon Unite is a pretty good mm-hmm. spot. So not everybody gets that chance. We'll definitely have to be bringing that up as well. But Lazadin, you mentioned it in your little bit of an intro, is that we got a whole suite of changes coming towards the public test server. So I'm going to rattle mm-hmm. off as many as I can from memory, and we'll dive into a lot more of them as we get out of the show. But of course, we have the new Pokemon being added to the game that are now featured on the public test server. Umbreon was already there. We now have Leafeon and Inteleon being added on there. Man, Vaporeon just getting snubbed. Yeah, different Eon, water type, and everything. Just not an option. Unfortunate. But Inteleon and Leafeon being added to the game. Some pretty interesting kits from what I can tell on social media. People are thinking they're a little underpowered potentially, but we'll see. We'll see where that ends up going. But some really fun kits, I think, from the point of that. A lot of really cool quality of life changes. Practice mode is getting a little bit of an advancement. Some holowares are getting some animations reworked, so it's cool that that is a potential down the future. And just a lot of other cool little interesting changes. More things on the data mine region too. I said this at the kind of the pre-show area, but for people who are listening, we will probably not be talking too much about the data mined like future that we have set ahead of us for this game. We'll probably save that for a different episode when we have less to talk about, because we have a lot to talk about now. But Dupesnacks, out of all those changes that I was talking about on the public test mm-hmm. server, anything that's really standing out to you that you're excited to be finally hitting their live game?
You gotta be excited about the surrender vote. That's one that I personally think is pretty excellent overall. So
and please explain what that is for listeners who maybe haven't seen that on social media yet. What are the changes to the surrender vote?
So the changes to the surrender vote essentially are you can switch them to effectively be permanently off, mm-hmm. which is pretty excellent. You can go in and you can say like, hey, only vote once, decline it once. And then after that, it never shows up again, this, that, and the other. But then you can literally just flip it off, just mm-hmm. turn it completely off. So you don't have to deal with that BS anymore, which I think is phenomenal just overall for the game. I think that's great. So I'm about it. That's one that I was just really happy with off the rip for sure.
One more thing to it, too, is now after you voted on that, like if you have the setting turned, like if you have the setting standard like it is in the game right now, where you'll see every instance of a surrender vote, after you vote, it actually like makes it a lot smaller on your screen. It shrinks that UI, which is amazing. Like that is mm-hmm. that is the biggest thing. I have raged at my television many a time because of how the much space it takes up on my screen when I've already voted. It's so frustrating. But I'm really excited that they're having some changes coming towards that. Really, really cool quality of life change. But
yep.
There's also a ton of balance changes as well that I didn't really mention in my preamble, but we can talk more about those in a second. But Lazadin, how about you? Anything that's jumping off the page public test server wise that you're excited about, or I guess you could also say not excited about, anything you're dreading?
I'm not gonna do the negative Nancy this time. I know I normally add on this shit, but I'm not gonna do it. I think that everything I saw in the PTS looked good. I was a big fan of the like new like versus screen or whatever that got data mined.
Oh yeah.
That thing was pretty cool. All the balance changes look pretty good. Maybe one or two things you're a little overboard, but what, I don't care about Sableye players.
Down with Sableye players. Dude, can't stop over CSC. Big fan of the show, and I'm a big fan of them. They tweeted at me like, oh, but Sableye players. And I said, quote, you'll get over it. In response, they'll take
the six Sableye players are molding, and that's it.
Oh man!
Random Sableye fact: I've played two Sableye games. They were utter tragedies of a performance, and those were my last two games to hit master this season. So there you go.
Perfect. Count them.
I mean, I got hard carried. I was useless to my team. Like there was no value I was bringing to the table, and hit master. So there you go.
You're dropping faint attack orbs in your home base, just in case they come close, so we'll know then.
Just in case they're trying to step up and rinse us on our doorstep.
It's true. There you go.
I had the very, very spicy take on my stream earlier after like looking through the totality of the Zacian changes. Mm-hmm. Of not only do I think it is probably worth testing from a competitive standpoint, it might not even be S tier. That last nerf is big.
Okay, let's talk about it, because I think that's the one balance wise that everyone wants to know about. Comfey already got the nerf hammer, right? I think to a relatively standard point where we can all agree it seems fine now. That's fine. But Zacian was the next one up, or maybe should have been first, but whatever. We're hitting it now. It got a pretty substantial nerf this time around. The stun of Sacred Sword dropping a lot. I think it was 0.8 seconds previously. Now it is 0.2. Are these numbers correct? They sound correct.
0.6, 0.2.
Okay, it was at 0.6 seconds down to a 0.2. So now it's almost... I mean, the stun is almost not relevant at all. It's almost more of just an interrupt. But it's a lot easier to dodge now. The big second instance of the Zacian hit, as well as we have been told from people digging into the numbers that the passive of Zacian has also changed. Utilizing your Eos energy for your big swings and your big moves is now on a cooldown. You cannot do it immediately, and it uses a lot more of the Eos. So a ton of changes. This is amazing. Like, I am so excited about this, but Lezen, you were making the bold claim that it might not even be S tier. On what grounds, Ven? On what grounds, Lazadin?
Well, the thing is, right, a lot of what made Zacian so stupidly, like, idiotically powerful was the ability to just, like, walk up to someone and just tap your button three times and they died instantly with nothing they could do, right? Not only would that take more energy now, it would take 8 plus 8 plus 16 instead of 10, which is not insignificant.
Yeah.
You also just like can't actually do it at all. And as a matter of fact, if you want to use your empowered sacred sword at all, you have to charge mid combat, right? Like you can pre-charge a little bit pre-combat, but that requires having a lot of points. And like, that's awkward. Like it's awkward to play around that. Like not having the tap charge makes the Pokemon like significantly less flexible. And it makes you really, really, really vulnerable to the Slowbro button. Nice. And being vulnerable to the Slowbro button is bad.
It's but just CC sometimes generally. A death sentence. On a tier list, it might be a death sentence. So that is fair.
But like just very vulnerable to CC generally because like, hey, that energy drains over time, right? Like it does. And you can't just like instigate double abilities off anymore. So your chasing power is nerfed, and your chasing power is also nerfed by the fourth auto. Nerf, they significantly decrease the range of that. Like,
I haven't actually like seen it in action yet, so this is a pretty like spicy hot take, having not been able to actually see it in a substantial environment.
Sure.
But just the changes I've seen are a really, really, really significant nerf.
Yeah. That's amazing. Hey, Zacian for Worlds? Let's go. Maybe we get it in the competitive circuit by that point. I'd be so excited. I mean, it's done its damage, I think. It's time to bring it down. And yeah, I think... Anyway, it's very exciting to see those changes. So thank you for the breakdown, Mazen. I'm very excited about that. Balance changes. Other than that, I know the Sableye nerf obviously seems very heavy-handed. Is there any other big balance change things that we wanted to talk about here on the show that are either exciting or maybe a bit worrying? Anything like that? Quick.
Oh, go ahead, Laz.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, while Laz is taking a look at that, I just want to say my personal opinion on Zacian. Even if this nerf is perfect and everybody universally agrees that it is in the most perfect spot, I still think from from a collective view of the game and people just being at ease, they still should have nerfed it into the ground to the point of unplayability and built it back up and gotten to this point. Because if this doesn't make it playable, then that feels awful. That feels truly terrible. So that's just my two cents.
Yeah, no, I think that is... Well, it's a terrifying omen, but I think it could be a very truthful one, right? So I think that's right.
I have faith that Laz is right, having gone into the numbers. But I am just, for the sake of argument, saying, man, I think Laz is right. We all need Laz to be right.
Right.
yeah. I mean, if I'm wrong, then, like, it's a little fucked.
We need this. Yeah. Oh, this sword dog has terrorized every competitive Pokemon game to ever exist, and we were no stranger to it.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I think we all forgot that Blue Bear got nerfed, huh?
Yeah. I felt
wow, that really is impactful. Damn. That's a big nerf, guys.
Did it get a breeze? Yeah, unfortunate.
It's like 12% damage decrease on the surging strikes.
No.
Anyway. Yeah,
that boosted auto's nuts. Okay, fair enough. Well, okay. Balance changes-wise, I think that's probably everything, unless you had one more thing to throw in, Lazadun.
I think that... Let's see, looking through these, I think the Buzzwole change is very interesting. I thought the character was fine, and I still think it is not going to be overpowered after the changes.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other like major train, I mean, obviously like Dragonite's weird. I hope we don't get two regionals of Dragonite in a row, XD.
Right. I mean,
Aegis is interesting. Totally Aegis is interesting. I'll say that.
AG is super interesting. I tried playing that Pokemon again today on ladder. I was not treated kindly by my opponents, I will say. They should have been more gentle. Anyway, it was a tough game. I was still having fun, but, you know, sometimes it needs a bit of resurgence. Other than that, changes on the public test server, I don't think there's anything too big. There are some cool data mine things for the future, a potential replay system being added to the game. That would be very cool from a lot of perspectives. Self-improvement, competitive landscape, content-wise, there's a lot of really cool things that can come from that. And then, of course, potentially a whole new game mode. I love PvE modes. I'm just such a sucker, like, for those kind of modes. Like, I'm like, I can beat Leon and his buddies? Yeah! Or things where I'm, like, boss rush and stuff. Like, I love those modes for probably too much. So I am very excited about another PvE mode, potentially a wave defense game. Sounds like a lot of fun, especially with Tinkaton and a big hammer being a part of it. I think there's a lot of cool things upcoming for that stuff. But other than that, I don't think there's any big changes that we want to talk about. Do we want to talk about Umbreon? Because Umbreon comes out in just a few days, a new defender Pokemon being added to the game. This Pokemon looks insanely strong. We just got word that it will be banned out for regionals, so it will not be available to play just due to the Pokemon coming out, things like that, yada yada. But still, what do we think about the impact this Pokemon will have on the game? Lassiter, have you been able to see much tape of this Pokemon?
I don't know. I think it's interesting. I don't know. I don't tend to like go super in depth on Pokemon until like they're likely to be competitively available, so I can't really say much.
I mean, I think the big one that actually is coming out of it is it's Mean Look, right? Where it's the closest thing we have to a root in the game, as far as I can tell. You create like a really tiny zone where the enemies cannot leave it. Just saying that out loud, it seems like a very, very strong ability, one of the first of its kind. Is this cool? Also, let's face it, they're going to have to make this Pokemon strong. Like, it is a big fan favorite. Umbreon is bring people back to the game caliber of popular. It is that kind of Pokemon. Which I'm excited. Yes, Grassnod is technically a root, Jen. Thank you. I guess that counts. But I think it'll be really cool. I think the Pokemon is... I think Umbreon's sweet. My favorite evolution, personally. So I'm excited to see it in the game. The Defender player, I'm excited to have another option. A debuff style tank seems really, really fun, and something very unique that we don't really have yet. So personally, I'm excited about it. Deusnex, how about you? What are your opinions? Is Umbreon cool enough, and is its kit cool enough to take your ironclad grip off of Slowbro, or are you going to be just still on that Pokemon?
Listen, I'll take it for a spin, right? I mean, I played a whole season as Mamoswine. I have no fear of playing a whole season of Umbreon if I'm liking what we're doing out here. Okay. That being said, I do think Mean Look is awesome. I think it's a really cool ability. It's definitely going to be where I start when I'm playing it.
Yes.
But you're right. It's an incredibly popular Pokemon. That's going to bring some folks back. And if it's, you know, if it's a solid release, like we talked about, like Chandelure, something like that, where it feels good, but not cartoonish or broken or underwhelming, then I think we're in a good spot. My biggest gripe about Umbreon is the same gripe I have with all these evolutions. And now that we're priced into pretty much getting all of them, it's just... ununique stuff we're getting, like, that isn't getting added to the game. Like, Umbreon is cool, but there are plenty of other Pokemon that could have done similar things that would have also been very cool. Sure. But not an Eevee, right? So that's kind of my only hang up with the Eevee specifically, is it's like, well, if you don't like one of the 9 Eevees or whatever, then cool, you know, you're just priced into a underwhelming release every time, because you either like the EVs or you don't. That's my only thing about it. That being said, my favorite evolution is Leafeon, so I'm excited for that to be on the horizon.
Oh, interesting. Cool. That's so funny that we're like, listen, I like some of them, but yeah, we've had so many of them that
it's like one of those things, like, everybody has a favorite evolution.
Right.
But evolution, like, Leafeon as my favorite evolution is not in the stratosphere of one of my favorite Pokemon.
No.
Like, it is way down there. So
fair enough. I think that is really true. One thing that is very clear in Unite, and coming from a person who watched a lot of Pokken, when Pokken was in the competitive Pokemon circuit and stuff, you could tell from their releases and stuff, it's just, you gotta hit the most popular Pokemon on the constant every single year. Sure. They have these polls, right? Worldwide polls to find out where the most Pokemon, which ones are the most popular. The one I'm shocked that is not in Unite yet, because it is always, like, ever since its release, it has been in, like, top 5 in all of these popularity polls, both just within Japan and abroad, is Mimikyu. Like, I am shocked that we don't have Mimikyu in Unite yet. It seems crazy to me. But whatever, it'll probably happen eventually. You know what? Like, it's that popular, but
I mean, come on.
Wait, Jen just calling it out. Life.
Yeah. Like, as you were talking, yeah, Jen was like, Mimikyu not being in the game is actually criminal. Yeah. I think Mimikyu is cool. The fact that it has a Pikachu costume on is a bummer. You know what I mean?
That's like, the best part about it.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if, because that's just like what it is on, but like technically that can be any like stitched together fit of a Pokemon, right? Sure. So if you're going to put in Mimikyu, I think it would be neat for it to take on fits of the opponents. Mm. I think that'd be neat.
Okay.
It doesn't like, doesn't have to be that Pikachu, from my understanding, anyways. I guess that's worth clarifying.
Well, fair enough. Some bold takes, for sure. All right, well, since we're mentioning some of these popular Pokemon that should get representation, before we jump into May Finals talk, Lazanin, what is a Pokemon? I know we talked about this already in the pre-show, but what is a Pokemon that you think is a bit of a weirdo that you want in Unite? Because Dewtrix is obviously a developer.
But I want Unite. I want Palossand.
Yeah,
that's good.
Gen 7, Mimikyu, Palossand, Sun and Moon were goated games, and I will not be told otherwise. Okay, Palossand's pretty cool. And yes, chat, please tell us yours while these lives. I like some of these. Cloth from VK. Cloth would be a very fun first Gen 9 Pokemon.
Cloth just released, was just released as a pin on PokemonCenter.com today. There you go.
No free shoutouts, but absolutely go pick it up. Maybe one day we can get sponsored by the Pokemon Center. I'd have so many pins. I'd have a giant lapel of just pins.
Sigilyph is dope. I like that.
Sigilyph, wow, that's
I always thought, obviously, I want Pelipper, but Cofagrigus would be really cool.
Yeah, we've talked about, I mean, every ghost Pokemon, I think, has just really got really cool creative kits. So mine's, I talked about this on the show a ton. Dusknoir would be very cool. There's a lot. I liked, Toucan would be cool. Honestly, I think we need to be, I think Bina's on the right track, though. We need to be talking about Gen 9. Like, we need to be getting some of these Gen 9 Pokemon in the game, for crying out loud. But one day we will get them into the game. Let's transition the conversation though to the May Finals, which of course is the title of this episode. We have one more monthly final to have before the regionals kick off. This tournament's always a really interesting one, and this one I feel like the big conversation around it is going to be the metagame, because it feels really wide open. We have a lot more Pokemon unbanned. Lapras is now available to play. Chandelure is here. Alolan Ninetales has seen some buffs and now become relevant. There's a lot of new Pokemon to really mix things up, which has been exciting, I think. But Lazanin, you were coaching a team that was in the open qualifiers. How are you feeling about this new metagame? Is it as exciting and interesting as I'm making it out to be? Or how does it feel when you're, in the trenches?
I don't think it feels that different personally. Really? Like,
okay.
I think Lapras is really powerful, and I'm expecting to see it Picture Banned every single game.
Mm-hmm.
Chandelure is certainly quite unique. And I think has spots where it's really good and spots where it's not. I think there's a lot of interesting things, but overall it kind of feels like the same. Like, one of the better comps of last patch, which was like the double speedster, just get slightly ahead and you have 2 million points the whole game. Like, that's still one of the best ways to play the game, right? Like, I don't know. It doesn't feel that different. Like, it feels like I'm drinking a cherry Coke instead of a regular Coke, Like, it's still Coke.
I'll take what I can get. I'll take a new flavor syrup being added to the mix. That sounds fun to me. I think the impact of Chandelure is going to be pretty cool. I do think it fills a very similar role to what other Pokemon have. I don't think it's exactly bringing a whole new way to play the game or anything like that, but I do think it's exciting that finally Espeon is out of my bot path. Some games, not every game, but just some games it's not. I am excited about that. I can't cast another Espeon meta. I just can't do it. It's so brutal. But Deuce, any interesting things you were looking forward to metagame-wise in the May Finals?
I'm right there with you on Chandelure. I'm excited to see two new Pokemon really feel like they're getting into the mix. I hope we get to see some Gudra as well, really show off some of these new releases. But I mean, I think Lapras and Chandelure have opportunities to be some real showstoppers. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I mean, it's always good when there's releases in the game that make sense and get played. That's just good for game health and as well as keeping people invested and interested. I do think we're hitting, I mean, I think we've already passed that point, to be honest. But I think, in my opinion, in Old Snacks' opinion, we need to up to two bans, and maybe even three, just to really shake this thing up. Obviously, a big box that needs to be checked before that happens is fixing the bugs, obviously, like, sure. So you can have a full roster to ban off of. Yeah. But that would be sick. I think three bans would be awesome.
Okay.
That does not sound fun. I think it sounds great. Put people in the well. Make people have to go deep. Like, give us different looks. I'm all for that. 100%.
Yeah. I've been of the two ban opinion. It would take some convincing to bring me all the way up to the number three. Which doesn't sound that far off, but I don't know. It's a bit much. But I do think you are right. The conversation around more bans happening in general is definitely one that needs to be discussed. Lazen, are you feeling the same way? Is one ban on either side just not enough?
I feel like one ban on either side makes it way too static. Like,
that's where I don't know.
Okay.
Like, just the one ban is like, okay, well, let's play a thought experiment, right? If there's one OP Pokemon, then the second team bans it, so the first team can't pick it. Cool. Mm-hmm. If there's two OP Pokemon, then it becomes a game of, like, chicken for, like, if the first team wants to ban one or not, because then that changes what the second team wants to ban, and then you're coin flipping every match. Fun. Mm-hmm. If there's three OP Pokemon, it's something similar. If there's four OP Pokemon, then, like, the second team just doesn't ban anything half the time. Like, it's just, like, your actual ban structure is just determined by the amount of OP Pokemon there are, nothing else.
And to be fair to the game, I don't think that's abnormal in a lot of... I mean, that happens in League all the time. Right? Like, your banning phase is all based around one of the most broken meta Pokemon or picks. Characters? Champions. I hate that every game is a different word for what your character is called. Overwatch is like hero? No, that's Heroes of the Storm. Oh no.
No, it's both of them. Well. It's also Dota. Anyway.
Okay.
But in League, it's like, okay, I have these five bans, right? Yeah. So, like, yeah, both teams are banning some OP shit, but, like, they're also both having to let something through often, and, like, they're getting to do those target bans, right? So, like, in Unite, I think that, like, having a ban that is available for a target ban or allowing for, like, certain strategies to pop up, well, it would prevent some Pokemon from ever seeing the light of day. I don't think Slowbro would see a single competitive match ever if there were two bans on this
absolutely
side.
Absolutely. Completely agree. Sure. That Pokemon is evergreen. That Unite move is just, it's just absurd how strong
it's
it
so
is.
It's so good.
And I don't think it's like literally unhealthy. It's a great meta check. Like, it is one of the best meta checks that we have in the game of Unite right now. It's like, this is the tier. Is it worth playing X Pokemon if it gets shut down by Slowbro? Is there impact enough to justify it if you can just get a check button slow beamed and go down?
Yes. I think, like, at this point, it was like maybe a year ago, and I don't remember when I said it, but it was like Slowbro's Unite could deal no damage and it's still the best thing moving. It's so good. Mm-hmm. It's so freaking good. And the fact that it just does damage is bonkers to me. Shout out to Slowbro.
saving
the game against Zacian since day one. Slowbro coming through.
Who is it? Is this Stockings on Twitter calling it the terrible per pink hippo?
Yes.
I was laughing.
Is it even a hippo? No way.
Kind what else of? Would it be?
Well, I mean, I don't know Swings.
All I know is that its tail is edible. All right, that is all I know about Slowpoke, and it's a very concerning.
Slowpoke is based on a massive salamander. Huh? It also loosely looks like a hippopotamus. There you go.
Oh, Loosely. We'll take it. All right. Anyway, that's our meta talk for today. Let's look at some brackets, shall we? All right. Let's take a look at North America first. We'll change it up a little bit here. May finals and a hypothetical bracket is what you're looking at on the screen. Podcast listeners, we'll try to do this audio wise as much as we can. So these are the matchups that we have for the bracket. Amaterasu versus Spinal, GT versus Rogue, TTV versus YouTube, and Luminosity versus Ignorance. That's right, folks. It is a exact repeat of what just happened 1 week prior in the qualifiers. None of these teams' seedings changed at all. So they're just going to have a rematch. Yeah. Every single round one is going to be a rematch here in North America, which, I mean, we're at the end of the year. Know. Seeding is pretty set in stone at this point. We've had an entire season worth of gameplay to put these teams where they are ranked currently. So that is not too surprising at all. But we'll have to get into these matches. Do we have a pick for banger match? What is the best first round game? What should you be tuning into Sneaky Seal stream to catch?
GT Rug.
Yeah?
Yes. Yeah. It's like, well, you know, usually the 4-5 match is a good bet.
That is true.
But like, especially in the specific case, right? They're pretty decently close in points. Not as much anymore after the roster swap. But like, it was a pretty decently close series in qualifiers. I heard Black accidentally equipped the EXP share, and that's very funny to me.
On Urshifu?
It was something like that.
Okay. Some carry, yeah. Black's playing since Central, right? So that's awesome.
Classic.
Okay. Fun.
True. It was on Blastoise? Okay, well, at least that makes a little bit more sense.
Right, it makes sense why he would already have it equipped. So that's at least an excuse for that one. Interesting.
But yeah.
So this match is interesting. 4-5 seed, of course, is always really cool. Hmm. However, the big thing to note here is that GT and Rogue are extremely close in championship.
Yes.
Like, I think, I don't know the exact number I've hit, but I believe it is sub-100. CP differentiating these two teams, which makes this tournament and even this game very important in like long-term ramifications. Like, if either of these teams has a chance at pulling towards the top three, not too sure, but like, either team wants a better seed headed into regionals in the up forward, this is a very, very important game. So yeah, I think GT versus Rogue is going to be a really, really cool match. So that'll be awesome.
Yeah,
definitely the match to watch.
So just on the, I don't know if you clarified this, Zoink, so please stop if I'm repeating you, because I didn't catch it. If so, but fourth seed in CP or fourth highest CP total in NA is most likely going to matter in S-ton because Amaterasu, TTV, Luminosity, somewhere in that group is, you know, favored to win at regional finals, which means they get that auto qual invite and the CP invites are go to the trickle down. So actually, if you're in that fourth CP slot and one of the three teams ahead of you are the ones that win the event, then you're now going to Worlds. So that's another reason why, you know, GT Rug being 4-5 and that discrepancy of CP between them is super relevant and one of the better storylines we've got going in to finish out this season.
True. Yeah, that is a really good point. And no, I did not say that yet. So I'm glad you clarified that. That is a very, very important fact. Fourth spot in NA is going to matter a metric S-ton. That is really interesting. I mean, every single one of these matches is going to be cool. Also, shout out to Soup Chef hanging out in chat and people saying, already getting ready for Lazadin's quote. Tell him good luck in losers bracket. Oof. Watch your tongue. Soup Chef's hanging out. We got the chef. But yeah, the rest of the matchups, Amaterasu versus Spinal will be really good. I mean, Spinal's been having absolute just banger run in tournament after tournament recently. Some good grassroots tournaments performances. They've been playing well in UCS, of course. They're doing really well. Rima had to emergency fill for them before the qualifiers.
About that.
Uh-huh.
So from what I understand, Relent forgot to or was too busy to accept the sub invite. so he can't even play for the finals either. Oh. So it's Reba.
Good lord.
Dude, NA's getting alarm clocked a week prior to the event. This is absurd.
This is goofy.
That is my understanding. They have been screwed with Reba yesterday, and I believe they are playing with her on Saturday. And Vin seems to be confirming that within Reba, we believe, in the chat.
Bruh.
Yo, Reema to the moon. I hope they rock and roll with Reema. That's awesome. Stepping in on short notice, getting into the top eight, and now they get a chance to just dominate and like go for it. Hell yeah. That's a dope story too. Shout out to Reema. Looking like a rock star out here. Hope you hyper carry this weekend.
Oh yeah. I mean, we all know she's fully capable of it. We've seen tons and tons of Reema highlight reel for sure. Okay, so that was a match to watch initially. I think that is a good call out. Why don't we all pick our projected winner of the North American May Finals? We've only had one repeat winner in North America, right? And that's Luminosity, of course. So do we think it's going to be a three-peat? Is someone going to break the trifecta of TTV, Amaterasu, Luminosity? Is it time to cook? We'll have to see. Dupes next. Why don't you make the first prediction of North America? I need music for this moment, but I'm not going to get it.
I'm gonna have to tip my cap to Laz here, and I'll go Luminosity.
Luminosity. Okay. Any specific thing call out for LG?
They seemed back to true form in the April finals, which is important. And if they're able to bounce back in a tournament like that, that I don't want to say didn't matter as much, but you know, there's less CP on the line, less money on the line, etc. It sounds like there's a little bit more focus there, and hopefully a wave they can continue to ride. Amaterasu, I think, is going to get just bridesmaid, never the bride, get second again, but kind of hold their CP lead, in this group. You know, I truly think it's going to be a 1-2-3, or I guess a 2-1-3, okay, situation here. But my heart's with GT as well. You know, I love them. So
okay, GT at what place? Because this is relevant. My word on where GT gets is so far biblical canon. So just know.
Because would you say third? You say third?
I haven't made my prediction yet.
You said third in April, right? So
yeah, I said third in April.
I guess since I said Luminosity with Amaterasu in second, I'll put GT third. There you go.
I've put them third and fourth, and that's been their seeds. Or I think third and fifth, I think, and I got them right both times. But okay. Lazarin, Luminosity wins. Great, cool. Who do you beat to win against in Grand Finals?
Give me a sec.
I think. I think the most likely one is ASU. I think they match up well into either GT or Rogue, and I think they match up extremely well in this final. So I don't predict them having that many issues in the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Though, I don't know. There's like five teams that could be in that spot, and none of them would surprise me.
Cool. Okay. Well, Amaterasu being your call out works very well for me, because I am going to be the off-kilter one here. I'm going to pick Amaterasu to win this one. I think they're going to win main finals. I think this team is grinding hard to actually be a huge force at regionals. I think their practice is going to show it in May. So I'm predicting Amaterasu to be the first place team. And it has to be through loser's bracket. I mean, so many good teams. I'm going to give GT the repeat pick of number third. I'm going to get GT at a miracle run to third place. Not a miracle run. They're a very good team. But I think GT at third place would be make the most sense to me. That's where I'm putting them. So I am looking forward to it. Let's all pick our MVP on that squad if your team does win it. For Amaterasu, I'm going to say that Yeatfan is going to go nuts with all of the new attacker picks they have to work with. I want to see their Candle. I want to see their A9. I think they'll have a lot of great options. I think Yeatfan is going to be MVP of this squad. How about you, Deucenex? Who's your MVP on Luminosity?
No. You know I'm going to go Slash. You know, ooh, I'm going to go Slash.
Yeah. Slash Lapras. Is it a force to be reckoned with, Lazadan?
Yeah, I would say Slash's Lapras is pretty freaking good.
Okay, cool. Normally he's like, it's mid, so I normally Laz is just being like, yeah, it's fine. So Slash press, very, very good.
He would proto.
I'm sorry.
Chef getting out-typed by Psyche. Legendary own. By mere moments. Can we take just a quick... Laz, did you say who you thought your all-star was going to be on the LG squad?
I think that Elo has been freed of comfy prison and is unleashed.
Okay. I like that. I'm not changing my prediction, but I do like that call out. That is very exciting. Awesome. Okay, that is that's gonna wrap us up on NA, unless you had something to say here, Dupes Next, at the tail end.
I do. I want to give a huge shout to Ignorance, the team with the best gamer tags going.
True.
There you go.
True.
Soup Chef. Hanging out. I mean, we might need to bring out the name tier list again. Obviously, we wouldn't include Psyche, but we would need to bring it out again so that we could rank Ignorance in that category and put Soup Chef. And
I mean, they'd all be S. They're amazing. Goopiter, love it. Protein Shake, love it. Scrubble Knot, love it. Soup Chef, that too's throwing me off a little bit. You clean that up. Got a real shot. Love it.
Yeah, you hate numbers and names. It's like an immediate D tier. D tier or below for Dupes Next. Fair enough. All right, let's talk about EU. So EU having a bit of a shakeup. It's hard to call it a shakeup. But now it's winning the last tournament, knocking Tally Bobo out of the way. And so now we're looking at a little bit of a different bracket. Nouns, Tilted, Feeling Cute, Zephyr, Time to... This is wrong. I didn't. Oops. Okay. I gotta fix this. Hold on, everybody.
Tally Bolo, we got they sporting ties now. Tally Bolo out here.
All right, wearing the Dupes Next. Give me the general storylines around EU, huh?
The general storylines around EU. Time to Shine. They added a bunch of folks, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Auk and where?
Yeah, it's hold on. Let me pull it up. It is.
Auk, was it?
Gek, Shelvin, Auk, Ware, and Lunder.
I mean, that's a squad right there. That's a team looking to get into the top four of EU, because EU's in a similar situation. They get four slots, so if one of the top four wins, it trickles down, of course. So Time to Shine looking to make some moves, and I'll tell you what, they strapped themselves up with a heck of a team there. Not to mention that for some reason, which I'm happy to see, like Chelvin and Gek seem to have just like evolved. You know, like they've hit their final form in the late stage of this, starting at AOS Cup. So that team's got a real shot. I like Time to Shine quite a bit. That's a very solid storyline there.
It's good to hear more people are getting Time to Shine pilled like I am. I'm very excited.
Woof Woof picking up Eichels. It is Eichlis with two S's, but just not allowed on Pokemon Unite gamer tags. So Eichlis being on Woof Woof is a huge add, them leaving Zephyr Esport. And Zephyr Esport has really been a roller coaster ride of a team, right? When they make it, they are a ton of fun to watch, but they are their own worst enemy when it comes to that stuff, man. I mean, they go pure goofy shoes, and they trying to clown you from bell to bell. And if you didn't get, you know, your tickets to Cirque du Soleil, then it ain't going to quite work. So, bummer to see Zephyr on out, but Eichlis looking to level up here and landing himself on a pretty good squad.
Yeah. Lazen, how about you? Any thoughts on EU kind of as a whole?
I think the... Nouns versus Tallyboat narrative is always interesting. Mm-hmm. I think Time to Shine definitely has this is probably their best chance at getting second place or even first.
Yeah.
I'd be kind of surprised if they got first, but like I think they have a very good shot at placing higher than usual.
Cool.
I also like, from what I understand, this is hopefully the last of Time to Sub. This should be their roster for the next tournament as well, so that'll be banger to watch their evolution.
Knock on wood.
Yes,
I hope for all of their sakes. This is the best
I think it's pretty interesting. I think We see Tilted coming back for another month. I believe they were the team that just played a bunch of Cinderace and flipped on Spawn. Banger. And it's better to play Cinderace and flip on Spawn now. They got buffed. I don't know.
They got buffed. Maybe Let's go.
Dark Horse.
Another fun one I think that we can talk about, I think, is Mei Lasuda, I believe is the name that they're going in with. Is an all the first apparently all Spanish team. So that's kinda cool. Soryu is playing on that squad. The fill in for Time to Shine in the last tournament. So
Diet Soryu.
Not Soryu, yes.
Soryu.
Bordy was playing on what team at that tournament? Was it also Time to Shine?
Yeah.
They were the attacker on Time to Shine for that tournament.
Yes. You're right.
And they were.
Yeah.
And also feeling that Rai, Eros, and Wrecker, sad Wrecker, are all on that squad. So I think they'll be a fun outside team. They got to go up against Nouns first round, which is always tough, but it'll still be cool. I hope your loser's run goes well.
There's it's a lot less. It feels a lot less turbulent in EU than it does in NA, where there's just been kind of upstarts every month. It kind of feels like. Glad to see Giga Chad back in there. Honestly, they were a fun team to watch. I know Young Leon specifically is subbing, is in the sub slot for the May finals. They still got Karake out there. So
Karake is on Tilted, but Urzeron, were you thinking of?
Or Urzeron, yeah, excuse me, on GigaChad. So, I mean, they have, and they've rebounded well from, you know, all the other shakeups that have gone into their region. So I'm glad to see them in top 8 again.
Yeah, absolutely. And they also lost Ouch, or A-U-C-H, however you pronounce that
Auk.
Name, I think. Auk. Yes, I believe they had Auk at one point, off to a different team. But
yes.
Yeah, they had Auk. Auk is on Time to Shine.
Time to Shine, yoink dunk.
Ma'am. Well, time to snake, huh? Don't tell him I said that. All right, let's talk about game to watch. If we were able to spectate a first round matchup out of this lineup, is there anything specifically you'd want to call out? I think Time to Shine, Tilted, or Wolf Wolf Giga Chad are probably the two games that are probably the most exciting.
I would say Time to Shine, Tilted would be my place to go. Mm. I honestly think, I know, you know, the Cinder rip on Spawn that Laz pointed out is true, but Tilted also looked good in their top four matches for Tilted. I mean, they've leveled up. They're hitting a stride, and when else but at the end of the season do you want to be doing that? So, you know, I think they can surprise some people. I think they certainly did in the April finals, right, by making it to the top four. So, you know, I do think Time to Shine needs to take this team seriously. They've got a lot of ads, so hopefully their communication is there for today, because Tilted is not looking to lay down. So I think that's my match to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, I memed the flip on Spawn thing, but also, like, they were just straight team fighting people with the Cinder sometimes. Like, it was actually, like, they were pretty efficient with it.
Yeah.
I would be eager to see their performance off of it, though.
Okay, yeah. If Time to Shine really wants to try to go anti-draft into them or something, or I mean, Shelvin's got a Cinderace, right? He's been playing jungle for a long time. You had to have a Cinderace at one point. So they could just, like, hate draft it, too. That'd be interesting. Cool. I think that's a really good call out to watch first up. But let's start things off with picking our winners of this tournament. Obviously, our reigning champ right now is Nouns. Lazadin. We're going to see that change. Is Talibobo back, and are they going to win the whole thing? Does Nouns run it back and win May as well? Or is there another team looking for that slot? Lazadin.
All right, you know what? I said I was going for the hot takes today, and we're going for the hot takes today. Time to shine first.
Time to shine first.
Let's go. Please. Please. Please.
Let's go. All right. How about you, Doobsnacks?
Man, I don't want to say the same thing. I would like to talk about just kind of some of the background, rumblings that we've heard from, you know, the Talibobo camp seems to be a little bit, you know, the clouds seem to be a little bit more gray than clear, if you will. It's not sun shining over there. Have they fallen off? Big question mark. Nouns also seems to be kind of solidifying, of course, with a win last month. I like my brain is telling me Nouns is gonna win, but my heart, along with Time to Shine, would love to see Woof Woof transcend again.
Wow. Okay.
I think they're one of the most fun team to watch because they send it. I mean, we've seen that time and time again, and it makes some their games the most exciting. They've taken Tally Bobo to the wire. You know, they've taken some great games into Nouns as well. So, you know, whatever. Let's go Woof Woof. Let's have some fun.
Wow, okay. We're cooking. I feel so boring. I think Tally Bobo's going to win. You called it a dark and gray skies, potentially. I don't know of an environment that Toon Slim plays in better than dark and stormy skies, all right? It's the level up time. We're going to see a new, improved, and somehow even better Toon here in May. I think Toon's going to start absolutely dominating, folks.
Are you telling me that Toon can be found on any given night at midnight on the rooftop in the rain, just staring wistfully out over the city?
Yes,
absolutely. If you make the correct sacrifices,
as long as he's got new shoes on, then I accept.
New boots.
please, someone draw the little Psyduck just like on a rooftop on a stormy night.
Just a newt looking
into the
sky
with some ridiculous kicks he had on with those. Just put the Psyduck in them ridiculous kicks.
That does sound like a Toon Agnel. Oh, I love that. Okay, fantastic. Oh, well, obviously, I already said my MVP. It is Newt. I mean, Toon. How about you on Woof Woof Dupes next? Who's your MVP?
Gotta go for the homie Caligula.
Caligula. All right, fair enough.
Callie. Yeah, Callie's dope.
Two Gengar picks away from being MVP. Let's go, Lazadin. How about you?
I am saying that Gek has been on his revenge arc all year. Oh, yeah. He mm-hmm. heard what people were saying about him at Worlds, and he is here to prove it again and again mm-hmm. and again. He is arguably the best tank in Europe, and he's going to show up big time.
I'm so excited. Chelvin and Gek specifically are two players that behave a lot of the same way, and that way is they play up so hard. Like, they get
really
good competition in front of them, and they are a different pair of players. Like, it is crazy. You get them up against a Tally or a Nouns, and they're a different tier of player. And I'm so excited to get to watch them play. It's going to be awesome.
Another player that has like hyper leveled up this year, which I think is kind of understated, is Marv on Woof Woof as well.
Okay.
And I don't think it became as apparent to me as at the Eos Cup, because he was commanding that squad around the map, and they were also playing very well. Eos Cup to me, in the EU region specifically, was the tank show. Like, everybody's tanks were just playing out of their gourd. It was awesome to watch as somebody that, you know, is a tank player themselves and enjoy that. I mean, it was awesome. So, you know, in the same vein, Gek has been just absolutely insane. So has Bruv, so has Marv. Yeah. I mean, come on. These teams are getting it done. And I mean, at this point, if you keep giving Tally Bobo believers Slowbro every game, like they first pick that stuff, and it's nasty out there. So, I mean, you just can't give the guys the Slowbro. Come on. So, anyways, the tank show has been great, specifically Eos Cup, but I would love to see a run back here. I second the notion of Gek, absolutely crazy player.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that is going to bring us to the end of the episode. We talked a lot about the changes coming from the public test server. We talked even more about the May finals and what's going to be going on for that weekend. Deucenex and I are going to be on the main broadcast. Lazadin, of course, you are going to be coaching your squad. I cannot wait. It's going to be a really fun tournament. Of course, just setting the stage for regionals, but that in its own right is an exciting prospect. But anybody want to plug anything before we get off of this show? Lazadin, any specific things upcoming, exciting announcements, announcements of announcements?
Well, thank God I got to dodge talking about other regions today, because I finished half of Korea.
Next episode.
Okay, I finished half of Korea this morning, and I got too tired and a little bit tilted, not going to lie to you.
Okay.
So we'll continue with that the rest of the week.
we got Korea and the Apex and India left. I'm not sure how I'll get to India. I actually haven't watched India VOD since ACL.
Well, they've only had two tournaments, but yeah, that's fine. Okay,
fair enough. So like continuing those the rest of the week. We also I'll skip doing that for now.
All right, just
other stuff eventually coming.
Ah, there it is, the announcement of the announcement. We got it in.
Dude, it's such a vague, it's so vague. It's an announcement of an announcement of an announcement.
Oh, that's 3D chess right there. I like it. Doofs next. How about you? Anything to plug?
Yeah, Psyche, S tier gamer tag. And also an S tier mod, of course. So thank you for being here and taking care of us. One thing, as we're working through how we're going to do next Unite Mike's Mayhem, we are again trying to lock up a little bit of action from Kind of Fit, Kind of Fat so they can support us again. There is very much so an opportunity on the horizon where what we might do, and Zoinks, this is the first time you're hearing about it.
Okay.
What we might do is do pre-orders on a piece of merchandise, and then the difference from what we sell it at to what the cost to make it, the difference there will all go into the pool to generate essentially the funds for the next Unite Mike's Mayhem, to which, you know, Zoinks and I will supplement the gaps there to bring it up to snuff if we don't quite get there. So that's another thing we're chewing on. I will ship to Canada. Yeah, we'll figure that out. I mean, whatever. If it costs a little bit more, it is what it is. It's about getting our merch out there and, of course, running another event. There's no money to be made here, so we'll definitely make that happen. So be on the horizon, or that might be on the horizon, so just be on the lookout for that. Of course, like everything else, and I'm going to say this because I truly believe we're all esports fans out here, right? Not just of Pokemon Unite, but of other games as well. We're always loitering on Twitch all over the place. If you like something, you have to be able to put some money into it for it to continue to operate at least a feasible level. Mm-hmm. Here at Unite Mics, we're not about profit, but things aren't free. So we want to run Unite Mics Mayhem, and sometimes we need to turn the community to help to bring those events to you. That's not saying take out a second mortgage or go into debt to support this. But if you have the opportunity to be able to support that, please consider to do so. And that ripples through your favorite content creator, your favorite org, your favorite other game, you know, that you have to be able to put a couple bucks in to keep these things going. Again, we make no money off this. Everything that we bring in goes directly back, either in forms of donation to support good causes or to keep this thing going. So you can rest assured in that. But there are folks out there that do this for full time and do need to do this to make their living. And if you're in their stream every single day, it definitely would probably mean the world to them for you to support them in any way you can in that sense. So that being said, I'll get off my soapbox. Thanks for letting me kind of rant about that. Peace, love, and hugs. I love you all. And please tune in this weekend. And if you are, sub to Unite Mics for our emote initiative where you donate all the money that we get. You can spam that stuff in the official chat this weekend. So let's see it. Let's see it.
Yeah, that's true. So just, yeah, to echo that, we will have more announcements of that if it does actually happen, about what the swag is, how you can get it, all that stuff. Don't worry, we'll be canvassing that everywhere. So if you want to be looking forward to that in the future, we'll absolutely be able to make sure that you can see it. Other than that, check out Unite Mics on YouTube and on here on Twitch if you're watching live. And of course, all these podcast episodes get put up on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, all that good stuff. So if you're already there, just leave a 5-star review. It would help more people find the show and more people to enter into the competitive Unite tournament scene, which is what we all really want. Well, thank you everybody so much for tuning in. And yeah, like Dupes Next said, tune in this weekend. Come watch Luminosity play and, of course, lose to Amaterasu. Let's go. My predictions are always right. We'll see you all next week. Goodbye.